Abba, I humble myself before you. I ask that the Holy Teacher would come, the Holy Spirit, and teach us today. Even if the words come out of my mouth, may they be your words, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. For you are my rock, my strength, and my redeemer. Amen. I've asked this before, but I feel to ask it again. How many of you are called by God? Great. Very good. You know, I think we're all called, and we have an assignment for a purpose. And sometimes circumstances of life in the world seem to get in the way of the purpose that we identified for ourselves as part of our calling. And that's when Scripture says we have to stay the course. We have to keep our eyes on the goal and run the race. And so many people talk about what it means to stay on course and run that race and all the things that are involved. But very few people have I ever heard talk about what it means to finish. And so that's what I'm going to focus on today, is being called and how do we finish? How will you finish? Let's start in Romans 8. Identify the fact that we are called. Romans 8, starting in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified or made righteous. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. So, you know, the word purpose means a deliberate or advanced plan, an intention or design. So you were called by God's deliberate or advanced plan, intention or design to accomplish something. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. This is the scripture that was preached on the night that I got saved. Verse 3, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Messiah, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Yeshua Himself, to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. And look at chapter 2, verse 10. For we are all His workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua for good works, which God predestined or prepared beforehand or ordained from the beginning that we should walk in them. So it's clear from Scripture that we're called and chosen by God, and that we're predestined or preordained or ordained from the very beginning to do something specific for Him. Good works, the purpose of His will. And, you know, the Lord cares about you. He cares about you even when the forces of darkness are whispering in your ear that nobody does. He cares about you when you're unemployed, when your home is going to be foreclosed, when you're sick and facing terminal illness, or when someone that you love and have been depending on all your life dies. He still loves and cares about you. He can see you through all those things. Because the word of the Lord does not go forth void, and it always accomplishes what it sets out to do. How do I know that? Well, it says it in Scripture. In Isaiah 55:11, it says, God's word shall not return to him void. Think of times when you received a prophetic word or a scripture jumped out at you and you knew that that was intended for you for that day. Some of the prophecies that have been spoken over you may not have happened yet. But God's word does not return to him void. God's word does not return to him void. The world will try and rob you of your destiny. Satan's minions will try and rob you of your destiny. But the word of God is sure. It's sharp as a two-edged sword, separates the marrow from the bone. And it can guide you back into that destiny when you feel like maybe you've missed it. It can guide you back because God's word will not return to him void. Now, let's look at Psalm 139 briefly. Psalm 139. I just want to emphasize how much God cares about you. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Verse 13. For you formed me, my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. So God formed you. He predestined you. He ordained you from the beginning to be called and chosen and to accomplish works. That's what the word says that we've read. Now let's look at John chapter 17 and get into the heart of what I'm looking at today. John 17 and verse 1. Yeshua spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, which the glory which I had with you before the world was. Now, in verse 4, Yeshua said, I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And that word for finished comes from the Greek teleo. And it's Strong's 5048 and 5055. It means the end of the process. What needed to be done has been done to complete or make perfect. And we're going to see that word used again when Yeshua is on the cross and the Roman soldier gives him sour wine. And then he says it's finished and he gives up his spirit. That word is another form of teleo, and it means to perform the last act which completes the process, to bring to a close or to fulfill, to perform the last act which completes a process, to bring to a close or to fulfill. And when he said it in John 17:4, it means the end of the process, what needed to be done has been done. Now, if we're always striving to do something, how will we know when what's needed to be done has been done? How will we know that it's time for us to say it's finished? I did the task you gave me to do. I don't have an answer for that, but I'm certainly thinking about it. Because not everything that I've had spoken over me in terms of prophecy has come to pass yet. And I'm still believing for some of those things to happen. And I'm believing that there's a consequence when they happen that's going to go forth, and that it's God's intention that it do so. You know, my life was dramatically changed when God called me. You know, I was out in the world doing my thing. And all of a sudden, I started to feel like maybe I was being called by God after I got saved. And I actually went to a pastor up in Hibbing where I was practicing. And I said, you know, I'm feeling this, like maybe I'm being called to ministry, but I don't know if it's real. You know, can you help me out with this? And he said, Bruce, in the natural, no one would give up a medical career to go into ministry. It's just not something that a natural person would do. It's got to be God calling you, because no sane person would do it. And so I actually was comforted by that, because if God was calling me, it made me understand, you know, these things that I was feeling inside, but I still had no idea how I could possibly go from where I was in my life to where I felt God was calling me. But he just used circumstances that already existed, and you know, here I am. Let's look at a couple more scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We know that Yeshua finished the task that he was given. Here's another example of someone who believes that they have finished. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Skipping down to verse 5. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And now verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's the Apostle Paul. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And again, the word finished is teleo. I have performed the last act, which completes the process, Paul is saying. And he's saying to his disciple Timothy, fulfill your ministry. In verse 5, be watchful in all things. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. That's what I'm saying to you today. Whatever it is, most of you raised your hand and said you were called. Whatever you feel you've been called to, fulfill your ministry. Think about being able to say, I performed the act that completes the process, it's finished. Have an end point in mind, other than either dying and going to be with Yeshua or having him come and rapture us out of the earth. There's got to be something, you know, that we're here for. It says you were ordained beforehand for good works that you should walk in them. Now let's look at Philippians chapter 3. It's no mistake that Rabbi Ed opened with this scripture, because the Holy Spirit knew that it was going to be part of the message today. Philippians chapter 3, I just want to look at verses 12 through 14. The Apostle Paul again is saying, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Messiah Yeshua has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching toward those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Messiah Yeshua. Now, what I'm praying for each of you is that you will lay hold of that for which Yeshua the Messiah also has laid hold of you. That you will know the works that you've been called to do, that you will know, and that you will do them. Now, on Rosh Hashanah in a few days, I'm going to be talking and breaking down this calling. And one of the things that happens when people are called is they object. I'll talk about that, but let me just say this. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God knew you beforehand. His word does not come back to him void. So if he spoke something, if something was spoken over you and it hasn't happened yet, please don't get discouraged. You know, pray it in. Walk it in. Keep your eye on the upward call of God and the Messiah Yeshua and not on the circumstances or the, you know, the stumbling blocks that seem to have appeared in your life. I had many stumbling blocks of my own a few years ago. There's been people here who've had a stumbling block called cancer that they were able to overcome. There's been people who've had stumbling blocks of broken bones and hip replacements and joint replacements that they've overcome. There's people who have lost their jobs and somehow they made it through until God provided another job. You know, it's not the circumstances, it's your focus. That's why the scripture, Yeshua said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Keep your focus on the Lord. That's why Paul said, I press on with my eyes focused on the goal, the prize, the end of the race, the upward call of God and Messiah Yeshua, so I can lay hold of that for which Messiah laid hold of me. I want to know what it is. I want to have that in my grasp. And I want to finish the task that's been laid before me. Amen. The questions are, have we completed our task? Have you completed your task? Are you on the right course to complete it? Are you choosing the course, or are you asking God to show you the course? Acts chapter 20. Starting in the middle of verse 18. This is the Apostle Paul now, near the end of his ministry. You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord, Yeshua the Messiah. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulation await me. But none of these things move me, he says, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. Finish, teleo. Finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Yeshua to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Part of the ministry that you and I have all of us have been given is to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. To proclaim the Lord Yeshua until he comes. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a rabbi. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be anything except a believer in Yeshua with his words in your heart to proclaim him to others. Paul said, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Woe is me. Now in Revelation 12:11, it says that the saints on the earth overcame the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So that's another thing that you always have. You have your own personal testimony that you can share with people. Even if you haven't memorized Scripture, even if you don't feel the call of an evangelist on your life, you have your own personal testimony. And the littlest thing that God asks you to do can have amazing consequences on the destiny of someone else. And I want to give you an example. Now, this example is to glorify God. He happened to use me, but to him be the glory. I was practicing OBGYN in Hibbing, Minnesota, in the year 2000. As I said, I went to see my pastor because I was feeling this call on my life, but he was already in with another appointment, so I sat in the sanctuary to wait for him. A woman came in. She was so visibly miserable and unhappy, it made me uncomfortable just to be in the same room with her. Now, normally my first reaction would not be to go up and talk to a person who's in that state. But the Holy Spirit said, go talk to her. I said, what? You know, you want me to go and intrude on her grief like that? That's not what people do. He said, go talk to her. So I walked over and I said, I can see that you're really unhappy. Is there anything that I can do for you? Could I help you somehow? And she said, no, I'm just waiting to see the pastor. And I said, well, I'm waiting to see the pastor too, and my appointment's before yours. You can have my appointment. She said, you know, what's troubling me isn't going to be fixed in 10 or 15 minutes of seeing him sooner. So just go ahead and have your appointment, and I'll just wait. And I said, okay, you know, bless you. So I went in and had my visit, went back to my clinic, and I kind of forgot about it. But 2 weeks later, that same woman came in for an appointment. She told me that she's 45 years old. Her youngest children are teenagers, 15, 16. Her husband and she are having a really rough time. It looks like their marriage might be over, and she suddenly finds herself pregnant at the age of 45. That's what she was so troubled about. So when she went in to see the pastor right after I had been in to see him, the pastor said, you know, the man who was just here right before you is a spirit-filled OBGYN specialist. Why don't you go and talk to him? So she came and she talked to me. That's what she told me. Because she was 45, I needed to do some tests that I wouldn't do in a healthy younger woman. And one of them was an ultrasound. The ultrasound revealed that one of the baby's kidneys wasn't forming properly. It was shriveled and it was malformed. But every time that she came in, I had to measure her abdomen to see that the baby was growing and listen to the heartbeat. And while I did that, and I had my hands on her abdomen, I would pray for the, you know, healing of that unborn child. And, you know, the bottom line is that at full term, when I delivered that baby, both of its kidneys were normal and healthy. Now, I believe with all my heart that if I had not been obedient and spoken to her in the sanctuary before I ever knew her, that maybe that baby would not have been born healthy. That those things are related to each other. What little thing might God ask of you that could change the destiny of someone else's life forever? And you may never know. Be open to what God is asking of you. God doesn't call the best equipped people to serve him, but he equips the people that he calls to do what he's asking them to do. Don't be concerned if you don't feel ready to do something. How ready do you have to be just to say to someone, I noticed that you're unhappy. Is there anything I can do for you? There wasn't anything profound in that, but it was obedient. Now, a couple months ago, Dr. Miles Monroe was here for an Omega Team conference. Some of you know that I'm part of the Omega Team ministry, and he said a couple things that really impacted us. I meet with other pastors on a regular basis, and we, you know, kind of discuss things, do Bible study. And one of the things Dr. Miles Monroe said, and one of the many of the books that he's written are about the issue of potential. Now, his example is the potential of a small seed. That seed gets planted and it grows into a huge tree. The tree produces fruit. The fruit, inside each fruit is another seed. And every seed inside every fruit has the same potential to grow another tree, another tree, another tree, more and more and more fruit, more and more and more seeds, until the world is filled with trees bearing fruit and producing seeds, all from one seed. Whatever has been planted in you wants to come forth to its full potential. Father, I pray right now in the name of Yeshua that you would give everyone here, everyone who's going to listen to this on podcast or on the tape, a glimpse of their own true potential as you see it, Lord. And that you would bring forth the power by your will to see that potential come to pass, O Heavenly Father. Because you promised in your word that when your word goes out, it will not return to you void. I call forth the prophecies that have been spoken over these people. I call forth the words that they've been given. I call forth the times when Scripture leapt out at them and they thought it was for them and it hasn't happened yet. Lord, we need these things to start happening. Time is growing short. Oh, God. Now, the second thing that Dr. Miles Monroe said that really impacted us was that the richest stashes of wealth in America are not Fort Knox or the Denver Mint. They're not, you know, the homes of the ultra wealthy or Wall Street. He said the wealthiest places in America are cemeteries. And he said because the cemeteries are filled with unfulfilled potential. Every book that was never written, every invention that was never brought to the market, every movie script that never was read by anyone but sat in a drawer somewhere, every idea, every business that was thought about but nobody took a chance and tried to get it started, all that unfulfilled potential is lying buried in graves all over our country. And that represents more wealth, according to Dr. Monroe, than all the gold in Fort Knox. And so this is what he said. He said, my goal in life is to die empty, having given everything that God put inside me out before I die. So I'm challenging us. Let's make that our goal. Let's all of us try to die empty and be able to say on our deathbed or when we go to stand before Yeshua, I finished the task you gave me to do. Teleo, it is finished. Now, the last scripture I want to read is very brief. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Take heed to the ministry that you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. The word fulfill is pleroo, P-L-E-R-O-O, Strong's 41:37. It means to satisfy or execute a plan, to accomplish a task, to be complete or to verify, as in a prophecy or a prediction. So let's read it this way. Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may satisfy or execute his plan, accomplish the task you've been given, complete what he set out for you to do, and verify the prophecies that you've been given in this life. That's what it means to fulfill your ministry. Now, in Revelation 19:10, it says the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. And we already saw in Isaiah 55 that God's word will not return to him void. So one thing you always have at your disposal when you're trying to fulfill your ministry is the word of God. Get into it, learn it, spend time, memorize scripture. There's scriptures that are ideal to tell to unsaved people. Like nothing can separate you from the love of God. Things like that. Have those at your disposal, you know. We were talking at lunch last week about how the gifts of the Holy Spirit are like a toolbox. And if you have that toolbox with you, God may want to pull out of there a word of knowledge for you to give to somebody. He may want to pull out a word of wisdom to give to somebody. He may want to pull out evangelism. And that spirit of evangelism can come on you, and you can boldly preach the gospel to somebody who just desperately needs to hear it. He may want to pull out miracles, healing. But the important thing is that you have that toolbox, that you believe it's for you. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not words in the Bible. They're for us all. If you're born again and spirit-filled, the Spirit of the living God is inside of you, and all his gifts could and should be available to you. You know, if someone, you know, put $1 million into your bank account and you didn't know it, your life wouldn't change because you'd assume that you had the amount that you started the day with. But if you did know, imagine what you could do, how your life might change. But you have all these tools, these treasures stored up in a jar of clay, and a lot of us are not using them. We're acting as if we don't even know they exist. I'm calling out everyone to start thinking about how am I going to fulfill my ministry? Am I on the right path? Am I seeking God for direction on these particular issues? And will I one day be able to stand before Yeshua and say, I have finished? These are hard questions. But it's better to ask hard questions and seek answers than to ignore them and go on, you know, the way we have been. If we're not satisfied, if we're not, you know, fully confident that we're on the right course, then let's start making some course corrections. Father, your word is true. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It says that we have been preordained by you to do good works, that we should walk in them. And Father, I call out. I call forth the good works that we are all to do. I pray that we will walk in them, that we will see the results, the fruit of your call, your plans, your purposes in each and every life, Lord God. And that, when we stand before Yeshua on the day when there's no sunset and no dawning, we'll be able to say, I finished the task you gave me to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for equipping me for the task. Thank you for letting me bring you honor and glory. Thank you, Lord. And what I want to hear him say back is, well done, good and faithful servant. May he say that over each and every one of you. In Yeshua's name, amen.